Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic, who covers the Tennessee Vols. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. Doing well. Making my way slowly but surely to Auburn, Alabama.
Very nice. So, David, while I have both you and Joe here with me, I want to tell you, we're just a few days away from Thanksgiving. We're almost there. It's almost the perfect time for both of you to dive back into the world that is banana pudding. You have that opportunity this week. I hope you both take advantage of it.
I will not be doing that. I can't think of anything that would ruin Thanksgiving quickly than banana pudding.
Bless your...
This is so bad.
Bless your heart, David. Listen, Robbie, you keep... I'm sorry, Robbie, you keep talking banana pudding. Make us some good banana pudding,
Fine.
And we'll try it.
All right, I'll do it. That's my responsibility for this week. David, you may get a visit from me in Knoxville next week.
Okay, so good to know. Good to know.
Just be ready for that. David, let's start with this. I want to ask you, how many times in the last couple of weeks have you been asked about Hugh Freeze? Is it over 100?
His name comes up, let's say that. I mean, I think it's like, you know, it's sort of Tennessee fans' wandering eye. You know, I think the angst was high, but I think certainly Arkansas put Tennessee fans, I think a lot of Tennessee fans anyway, through the looking glass in terms of, well, four games to be played this season, so we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, Hugh Freeze would certainly be the people's choice if Tennessee makes a change in the near future.
Okay, so... First of all, you've got the issue with his issues, right, in the SEC office.
Sure.
And forget the whole the reality of Jeremy Pruitt's contract that he's in year three and all that stuff. If you were in a, you know, it was a simple choice. Well, I won't even make the choice between Pruitt and Freeze. I mean, I think, you know, Pruitt has not proven much, but my question, let me change my entire question here as I completely botch this segment, David. Hugh Freeze, why do people think he's that great? There's my question.
Because he won a bunch of games at Ole Miss, and he beat Alabama. He was a thorn in Alabama's side. And I think, too, honestly, part of it is, you know, he got fired not because he wasn't winning games, and I think that's a huge part of it. You know, eventually... You know, everybody gets fired, and, you know, that's like the old adage in coaching. There's two kinds of coaches, coaches who have been fired and coaches who are going to be fired. And that didn't happen to him at Ole Miss. They never saw it go bad at Ole Miss in terms of them losing games. And I think that's a huge part of it, honestly. You know, there's the aspect of, you know, a coach who obviously made a lot of his bones in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, people don't care about the NCAA violations. They don't care about the, we'll call them telephonic indiscretions, I suppose.
Nice.
Like, people don't care about that. People want to win games. You know, and that sort of is what it is. You can make qualms with that, but I think ultimately fans, especially in Tennessee, are just hungry to win. And I think there's an element as well of Tennessee plays a not very aesthetically pleasing brand of football right now. And if you look around the SEC, that is not the trend. And I think certainly Hugh Freeze plays actual fun football. And then, of course, sort of the biggest reason is he's got Liberty on fire and playing a really fun brand of football. Malik Willis, the Auburn transfer, guy that, you know, is not that far off of the Heisman race right now, undefeated. I mean, it's sort of all of those things tied into one. And it, you know, I understand where Tennessee fans end up there. I think from a fan's perspective, I think it'd be different than boosters or athletic directors, and in this case, Philip Fulmer, who will be making that decision. And, you know, again, you know, we talked about earlier, there's still four games left. I don't think Tennessee makes a change, but again, there's four games left. A lot can happen. You know, if they're getting their doors blown off and struggle with Vandy or lose to Vandy, that conversation can change. if you win a couple of these games and you beat Florida or you close the season with a big win over a top five A&M team to keep them out of the playoffs, the conversation changes. I think regardless of how the last four games play out, 2021 is a do-or-die year for Jeremy Pruitt, where he's going to be, you know, more than likely on the hot seat for the majority of that season. But there's still just so many moving parts. But the Hugh Freeze love affair is multifaceted, and I understand it from fans' perspective. Will they be able to, I suppose, consummate that affair? We'll see. But, you know, again, four games left in the season. There's a lot that can happen.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. And, David, you brought up the not aesthetically pleasing way that Tennessee has played as of late. As you look ahead to this matchup tomorrow against Auburn, what do you think the path is to a win for Tennessee in this game? Because I watched this offense and how anemic it's been all season long, and I'm not sure how many points are actually on the table for this group. So what's the pathway to victory for Tennessee in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it can be a low-scoring game. You know, Auburn, you know, Bo Nix never found an off-balance throw he didn't love, and that can be a huge asset for Tennessee. You know, he does look like Jarrett Stidham in some ways, and they were able to take advantage of that. I think Jeremy Pruitt has really defended Gus Malzahn's offense as well, and certainly there's a lot of Chad Morris in this offense, and we'll see what that matchup looks like. They've matched up once back when Chad was at Clemson. So, you know, it's the biggest thing is obviously you got to come close to winning the turnover battle. It's always difficult on the road. But, you know, Tennessee, there's so many big picture, like, execution issues. And we wrote about this yesterday at The Athletic. Tennessee is doing so many things poorly right now that if they can sort of play up to their talent level a little bit, you know, Tennessee can win. Auburn is not a great team. This is, other than Vanderbilt, this is the worst team Tennessee has left on its schedule. You know, Florida is a really good team. A&M, I think, is pretty good. I'm pretty sure. Maybe. Vanderbilt obviously is not. Auburn, this is the game that Tennessee has the best chance to win that might actually win them a little bit of goodwill. And so we'll see. I mean, again, Tennessee, we've kind of seen this before 2 years ago when they came in here and won this game. And, you know, it's I mentioned yesterday, you know, Tennessee in 2018, the players would always talk about, oh, it's about us. It's about us. We're just not doing things well. And I didn't believe them because their players weren't very good. But in 2020, I think it is about them. Like, they're not playing very well. And if they do play well, they can do some things and really surprise some people because they're a lot more talented and a lot deeper than they were 2 years ago. And so, you know, I hate to sort of oversimplify it or be vague, but that's kind of where it's at. It's just guys are not doing what they're supposed to do, from the offensive line to the secondary to the receivers to all those things. I think there's some schematic issues offensively, but if Tennessee can just sort of, you know, play assignment football, they'll have a shot in this game.
Yeah, your piece, David, Five Reasons Tennessee's Breakthrough Year Has Given Way to a Breakdown, really digs in on a lot of those issues, most of them offensive. And when you put them all together like that, man, it's like this is not a group of players that is being maximized by its coaching. I mean, there's no way you could argue that, right? I mean, there's just – and I mean, look, boring can be good. Boring can win. But this isn't just boring. It's also ineffective in losing offense. So my question is, because I think the more realistic situation is Pruitt back under a ton of pressure in a fourth year, having already switched out a whole bunch of people. Do you think that Jim Chaney's time may be coming to an end? And if so, what kind of coordinator could Pruitt lure to Knoxville given the situation with him?
Well, not a great one. I mean, I've seen coaches in this situation before. You know, at Texas, Charlie Strong backed himself into a corner here. He messed up his offensive coordinator hires, and I don't know that the hire is necessarily the issue. I think it's just more, this is what Jeremy Pruitt wants to run, and I think that there's probably some big picture issues with that. You know, when you look around at the SEC, can you win playing the style of football that Tennessee wants to play? I don't know how you look around at the SEC. You look at what Florida does. You look at what Alabama does. even Georgia, you know, when they have better quarterback play, when you look at they want to do, I don't know how you look around the SEC and say, this is a reasonable path to becoming an SEC power. I just don't see it. Obviously, Tennessee disagrees to some extent. And I think, you know, to your first question, no, this team is not playing up to its ability. I mean, you look at this team right now, and you look at 2018's team. This team is a lot more talented, I think. Are they playing better? I mean, I don't think there's that much difference. You know, Tennessee played really good football for about six games in the back half of last season where they were limiting big plays, they were playing really efficient offense. They were mentally tough. You know, they were getting down early in some games. You know, obviously the Indiana game, the Kentucky game stand out as games that they were in pretty big holes, but they kept playing and rallied. And then again this year, you see them when they get in a hole, they just tank. You know, Arkansas makes a charge. Tennessee never really answered. They just kind of fell off and didn't show up. They fall in a 14-0 hole against Kentucky. They get a little bit of a rally, but then they get punched in the face in the first drive of the second half and never are competitive in the second half against a Kentucky team that, you know, it's not a great team. And I think when you look at all those things and you look at this team doesn't look like it's as mentally tough as it was a year ago, and if you match that up against the 2018 team, it doesn't look that much different. And then, of course, I think part of this, you know, the quarterback development issue, people want to get angry at Garantano and all those things. And I understand fans there. But the fact that this staff doesn't have anybody behind him in Trout or Maurer that they can feel good enough to step in when Garantano is struggling or when Garantano throws, you know, consecutive pick six and they don't have anywhere else to go, I mean, that's an indictment of the staff in year three. You can have that issue in year one, but in year three, you've done something wrong. And so, again, there's not one thing. I mean, I think offensive scheme is a big part of it. The offensive line development has stagnated. The quarterbacks have not played well. Defense all of a sudden is having all these busts. The tackling has become an issue. I mean, it's a bunch of, like, kind of, like, there's not a disaster anywhere, but there's maybe the quarterbacks are. But I think there's just a lot of issues in so many places, and you add all those up, and you get a not very good football team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. David Oven from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, appreciate you taking time, as always, to join us, my man. Have fun in Auburn.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And, Joe, if he force feeds you any banana pudding, just let me know, and I will call the authorities.
We'll send him so much pumpkin pie he won't know what to do.
Oh, man.
You fellas are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, thanks, David. Appreciate you. Man.
See y'all.
I don't even know what to do with you two anymore. Just the slander of banana pudding. It's unbelievable.
I got you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you, Borth.
It's all talk, man. Show me the good banana pudding.
All right. When we come back, we'll dive back into the matchup for Tennessee against Auburn this weekend. Also, some big news potentially, maybe on the Titans front. We'll get into that on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.